2 weeks ago, I said that there's nothing I would rather do than stand up here and preach the word. This is the thing that I look forward to. I do want to state on a completely unrelated note, I have nothing to do with Cody being sick and me taking his spot today. Nor do I have anything to do with the fact that Richie had serious surgery and is unable to take positions when other people are unable to preach. Or that Bob and my dad are out of town. I have nothing to do with any of that absolutely whatsoever. So I just want to throw that out there that that's not me, all right? That's divine intervention. That's what that is. Amen? Well, all right. Let's talk about some problems. I've been kind of on a kick here lately about dark times and hard life. One of the things that I've always kind of struggled with is the idea that a lot of people, they start going through some issues in their life and they think, well, and you hear people said, I've said it, that person just needs Jesus, right? A lot of people get this idea that, you know, if I just come to church and I get Jesus, then all my problems are going to poof. They're going to go away. You got to remember Andy. He's having a rough time. Poor boy's had something going on for the last week, and he's just not been doing too swell. So, of course, you know, I jumped on an opportunity to be able to preach, and when we head out of here, the wife decides, you know what, we need to take Andy to the clinic. So we're at the clinic till almost 2 o'clock. I'm thinking, I got a sermon I got to write. So he's there, and he's got some pills and that kind of stuff. He's supposed to be okay. Well, we get back to the house. I go downstairs, and that little man, Andy's a big kid, but he's outside playing basketball, and somehow or another rolls his ankle. At 4 o'clock, Lori comes into me going, Andy can't walk. I'm thinking, sweet, my food bill just dropped, you know, right? So she took him up to the ER. He's now got an air cast because he's got a sprained ankle. So, you know, for Sunday, Andy's Sunday has really just kind of fallen apart on the poor guy. He's having some issues. But you know, isn't that just our luck, how things roll in our life when it rains? It really pours. I know Brother Jacques and him's wrestling with some water issues because the second flood's on its way. We had some issues at our house as far as water is concerned, too. So the idea that just coming to Jesus, all my issues are going to go away, just is not true. The fact of the matter is, in all honesty, hard times are probably really going to start to happen. And, you know, I always want to try to make people aware that the difference is now we have a Savior to walk us through those hard times. And that's the important part, is that even though we have the devil working against us, we now got the Savior working for us, the creator of all. So that's kind of what I want to go through. I want to explore some of these problems that we're going to encounter throughout our life, because it's okay. It's okay. That doesn't mean God has forsaken us. It doesn't mean that God's gone or doesn't love me or even that there is no God. It just means welcome to life, serving the King. And there's some things that just because we get saved or just because we start believing God don't just magically go away either. We still have habits and lifestyles that we still have to work through. So that's kind of what I want to go through. So let's go to the Lord in a word, and then we'll begin. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we pray for those that are sick. Lord, we pray for those that are hurting. Lord, we pray for all those that are going through problems that's kept them away. We ask for your healing hand, your hand of guidance, and especially your hand of patience, Lord, that you laid upon each and every one of them. Those that decided not to come back tonight, Lord, I pray that you just give the opportunity for their hearts to be reconciled. Give us the ability, Lord, give me your words so that our lives may change. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20 says this, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So one of the things we need to understand that we're still going to have sin problems. See, just because Jesus Christ wiped away our past sins and he put them as far away as the east is from the west, that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean we're not going to still sin. All right, as Christians, we're still going to battle that sin in our life. Others, as believers, will constantly battle our flesh. In fact, Romans 7:14, Paul is writing about his struggles, and he says in 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." He goes on in verse 25, where he's talking about spiritually, the law of spirituality is whole, but he says at the end, "But with the flesh, the law of sin," saying, "I still struggle, I wrestle with my spiritual and I wrestle with my flesh. I know in my heart or in my mind that this is the lifestyle that I am supposed to live, but my flesh still craves." Listen, when I was diagnosed, I was never a real big candy person. Of course, I ate the Holy Three Musketeers, but that's just of Jesus. But a lot of that other stuff, it really wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't until I got diagnosed with diabetes that all of a sudden Trevor started having cravings for all things just sugar related, And it's just one of those things that all of a sudden my flesh, now I can't walk. I don't even go to Barry and Debbie's house because Debbie used to always have candy all over the place. I drive by that house and my sugar jumps up. I don't know if it's still like that, but it was always dangerous. But that's how your flesh is. As soon as it becomes something, like when you go on a diet, what do you start craving, right? Right? As soon as you start trying to refrain from those things that aren't any good for you, then all of a sudden you start craving. And then all of a sudden people start bringing donuts to the office. No one ever brings donuts to the office until a person goes on a diet, right? I don't know how that works, but that's every time. So it's always a constant battle. Sin is always going to be battle. We are to strive for perfection, but understand that we can't never obtain it. Now here's the other one. We got to think about this on the sin problem. We got to understand everyone else isn't perfect too. So when my brother and sister fall, instead of me sending it back going, "See, I told you that they didn't really love Jesus," or "I told you that it wasn't true." See, they can fall just as easily as I can fall. And instead of us so often want to "told you, I see," we have to understand, listen, they're having a sin problem. I have sin problems. I struggle. A lot of you have snicker problems. Have come to the Lord. We'll save you from that. All right, we'll get you the Three Musketeers for you. Sinless, why do we laugh at that? That's not funny. It's true. Sinlessness is not possible. But we are freed from our original sin, Adam, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are forgiven from our current and our past and our future thing. Thank the Lord. He's already forgiven me for the things that I'm going to do. All right? I'm going to do a lot of stuff in the future. All right? But we sin. And we're going to sin because sin is a problem. And that's what we just need to understand. That's one of the first things that I want us to understand, that we will continue to have sin problems. Don't beat yourself up about it. Don't kill yourself over it. Don't think crazy thoughts over it. It happens. You fell back into it. In sports, they tell you, get back up and dust yourself off. That's the same way the Lord can just... It's a heart thing. That's why I try to pass along to my Sunday school class and everyone else. It's your heart. God looks at your heart. He knows that when you fall, he looks at your heart. He knows that you fell because you're wrestling against your flesh. You get back up and you move on and you try your best not to do it again. He knows the difference between a person who's struggling and a person who just doesn't really care. Okay, we're all going to have sin problems. So we move on to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now everyone knows this verse. There hath no temptation taking you but such what is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Temptation problems. Temptation, the definition to tempt is to entice, to do wrong by promise of pleasure or to gain. Satan is going to start to tempt you. He's going to wave the Snickers in front of you, try to get you away from the Three Musketeers the entire rest of your Christian journey. Angela, why are you back there shaking your head? Temptation doesn't go away. Listen, when you go on a diet, the idea of donuts don't just go away, or the pizza, okay? The temptation gets stronger. It's the same way when you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and you decide, I want to make that journey, that step forward to do the will of God. Well, now all the fun stuff you enjoyed in that world, you're going to start missing out on. All that fleshly stuff that you used to feed all the worldly stuff you used to feed your flesh with, see, all that's, you're going to start missing out on that. And I don't know about any of you, but I really, really lived that lifestyle for a while. I partook in all that stuff that the world said, hey, this is what makes you happy. And I bought into it and I tried it. And so when I decided it's time to turn around and it's time for me to get back on the right path, my flesh wasn't quite ready for that. You see, I still had the temptations. And the devil knows me better than I know myself. He knows you don't have to flash Brussels sprouts in my face. Right? He knows that that's not the broccoli. That's not going to happen. All right? He knows what I'm going to miss. And I'm going to tell you to this day, there are still things in this world that I'll crave or I'll miss. You know, there are still things that I'll look at and be like, man, if I could just have one day, right? You know, on your diet, you have your cheat day. But you can't, because the one day turns into the next day. And, well, now I've blown it for this weekend. I'll wait till after Christmas, right? We'll start. That'll be my New Year's resolution, even though it's February, all right? The devil's going to tempt you. He's going to continue to tempt you. He tempted Adam and Eve. He tempted Job. He tempted David. He tempted Abraham, Elisha, Daniel, and even Jesus Christ. You being tempted just puts you in good company. Amen? You're in good company. The devil always comes after all those that he's scared of. Amen? He doesn't want you doing the things of God. He wants you to stop. He wants you back on his team. You don't want the best player playing for the other team. You want him on your team. As soon as you walk away from his team, now you become a hindrance to him, a trouble. Now, he's going to tempt men. He'll tempt women. And he's going to tempt children. Amen? Anybody have teenagers? I'm tempted to strangle them most of the time. Amen? I'm sure they are tempted to strangle me too, right? It's the only time Charlie will amen back there. Listen, he's going to use forbidden fruits, the things that God told us not to. He's going to use money. He's going to use fame. He's going to use the opposite sex. He's going to use stuff, TV. He can even use football. He can use sports. He can use anything that will get your eye off of Christ. He doesn't care what it is. And that's the hard thing, because it's going to be stuff you love. You won't even realize it. And the next thing you know, you've lost sight. What's that? Take the eye off the prize. See, the devil doesn't care what he tempts you with. James chapter 1, verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Satan is behind every temptation. God cannot tempt you. Temptation, by its very definition, is to get you to do wrong. And that comes from the devil. When you get saved, Satan does not give up on you. He has, he is, and he will continue to tempt you. He doesn't want you serving And brothers and sisters, when you come to know the Lord, and even in your journey, I don't care how long you've been saved, you will forever have temptation problems until the day the Lord calls you home. This I promise you. All right, let's move on to the next one. First, cheater. You find that book for me. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4. Reads like this. In 4 verse 16 says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Anybody said, woohoo, thank you, Jesus, when you're going through a hard time and suffering? That's a hard one right there. To be happy. Happy that you're suffering for the Lord. But that's what it calls here. So basically what he's telling you, that if you're working for Christ, you're going to suffer. I don't care where you are in your stage of your journey. You're going to suffer. And I'm sure we can walk around this room and people will tell us of all the different times that they've suffered. Some are going to suffer a lot more than others. That's the, well, you know, why does good things happen to bad people? Or why does that happen to me? Or why does God let that happen to children or whatnot? You've all heard that. All of us suffer. We're going to suffer. We're going to have a hard time. There's several different areas that we'll suffer. And I just want to go through some of these real quick. The first one, John chapter 9. Verse 1 through 3 reads like this. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did this sin? Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God should be manifested in him. There's going to be physical suffering. It may have been something that you're born with. May be something that happens later on, maybe something that you get, whatever there is. There's going to be physical suffering at some times. Come from a sickness, could have been from playing basketball. There's going to be a suffering. There's going to be times where you're going to hurt and you're going to need to lean on some help. You're going to need to pray on Jesus, and you're going to have to ask friends and family. There's going to be times that you suffer, times that you break down. That's when the devil really pushes its hardest, when you're already on that down slope, and then something happens, your car breaks down, you don't know how you're going to get to work. Hey, Mark, amen to that one over there. Right? Never know what's going to happen. Short term, long term, permanent can happen. And it's going to happen to those that serve Christ just as easily as it can happen to anyone else. We are not in a bubble. As much as I would love the fact that Jesus would just put us in a bubble when we got saved and we would never have to deal with any of that, how can we be witnesses if we don't know what the world is going through? Listen, think about that. Your physical suffering, it may be something that you are going through so you can help all those other ones. See, how many ministries are started because an individual went through something and then got the burden to go back and help others that are struggling with that same situation? God can use, and he has a plan to help you through. The next one is Revelation chapter 21. And this is a beautiful verse about the end, about heaven, about the end days when he starts everything new. He says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So we have this to look forward to, that this isn't going to happen anymore. What does that mean? That means there are emotional problems today, emotional suffering that you're going to go through today. There's sadness, there's depression, there's fear, there's sorrow. All of that. the devil can use. It's the saddest thing in this world today for any individual to feel so unloved that they hide themselves away from the world and ultimately maybe even move themselves towards suicide. When they have a Savior that is staring there, that died on the cross for them. See, we have a world that doesn't know love. We are directed to love these individuals. See, the devil loves depression, fear. Well, I can't do that. I can't do that. Oh, no, that just, no way, I can't do that. You know, you can. Because our Lord and Savior is there to help you walk you through it. You can do that. You can teach. You can witness. You can learn what needs to be said to share the gospel. You can be that missionary. You can go on that journey to Jamaica. You can go door to door. You can. You can. No matter what you're suffering through, if it's emotional problems, our Lord and Savior is there to get you through that. And lastly, as far as those are concerned, Ephesians. Verses 11 and 12, or chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen, it comes down to spiritual suffering. Because he's throwing them fiery darts, and if you're not built in the armor of God, he's going to get them. Them darts are going to land. Them arrows are going to hit their mark. We have to understand that when we're going through these issues, these spiritual problems are raging inside of us, that good versus evil. You know, we think it's funny. We see it on TV and movies. You know, you have the good guy versus the bad guy. But in all reality, we wrestle with that on the inside. That's part of that flesh. Do I like being the bad guy? Do I always want to cause problems? To wrestle back and forth, whether it be from God to build you or Satan to stop you, or just like Martin was saying, class, I'm my worst enemy. See, sometimes it's my fault. But either way, as a child of God, we're going to suffer. There'll be times that we suffer, and it's okay. It's all right that you're going through hard times. Because again, we're in good company. You know, how many people in the Bible were broken down and thought they were the only one? Thought no one else in the whole world was serving. How many times you feel, sometimes I feel like Hilltop Baptist Church is the only good church left. You know, especially with such good-looking preachers. You know, it's tough sometimes to be on the hill. To fight that constant battle. All right, we're going to go through hard times. So as we walk through some of this, the next one is Matthew 12, 50. Matthew 12, 50 says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So you think, that's awesome. Whoever's doing the will of my Father, I'm part of the family. Everything's great. How long did it take some of us to finally figure out what God wanted us to do? See, sometimes knowing God's will is the problem. You wrestle with that for a long time. If you're anything like me, you try to do other things. Right? God starts calling me to do something. Well, I'll sit back in a sound booth. I'll learn how to twist a couple knobs, right? Finally, an opportunity arises. Well, I'll teach Sunday school, you know? All because I'm trying to fight that whole idea to preach. All of us, knowing the will of God is a hard thing to do, especially when you're stubborn and you don't want to do it. that still small voice. See, the psalmist says in 143:10, he's praying, and he says, teach me to do thy will. Teach me to do thy will. Well, it wouldn't be a problem if I already knew it. So that's something that when you get saved, and we get, you know, we're a Baptist church, and we like to see people working. So a person comes down here on the altar, and they kneel and pray, and they accept Jesus Christ, and we do a handshake. As soon as the handshake we offer, we hand them a list, like, okay, now here's the jobs that we need filled. Which one are you going to do, right? Which one of these is the Lord leading you to, right? Why don't you come help me do this? Why don't you come help me do this? You know, God don't speak the same way to everybody. And it's okay to not to know his will right off the bat. That's okay. It takes time to learn how to even listen for his voice, to hear what he has to say. We still have that flesh we're fighting. There's still a lot of things I like to do in my life that God's got to show to me that is not the lifestyle that I need to continue to live. I always liken it to the idea of cleaning your room. All four of my kids, there's always different stages. If I tell all four of them to go clean their rooms, and I was the same way with my brother and my sister, when you come into the look at all of our rooms, they're going to be in various stages of what they felt is dirty. Amen? So they're going to go in and clean up certain things. I go in, I clean up certain things. Well, my clean and my mother's clean never were the same. Never were they ever the same. And so, why didn't you clean that up? Because that's not dirty. Well, that needs to be put away, but I know where that's at. I like that there. If I put it away, right, the wife cleans stuff up, now you can't find nothing, amen? Right? Because it's not our idea of clean is not on the same level. So it typically would take my mother several, I need this and this and I need this, and then she'll come back and then, well, now that uncovered this and this, right? Why didn't you pick this up? Well, you didn't tell me to pick that up. You told me to pick, right? It's the same thing with knowing the will of God. See, my idea of clean when I first started serving God is completely different than my idea of clean now. My idea of what I can do and shouldn't do and don't want to do are completely different now than they were then. We're all on different stages. I can't expect an individual who got saved today to be on the same level as everyone else. So that means some of them individuals, they get a little bit more leeway than the rest of us do. Because like when you look at your kids, some know better than the others. Okay? I should know better at this stage. I should be able to hear what the Word of God. But going through learning God's will, that's a hard, hard lesson to learn. There are several different ways to learn that, though. Romans 15:4. And the Bible is pretty clear about most of this stuff. Listen, you always turn to the Word of God. Because Romans 15:4 tells us, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Listen, we have instructions. We have how we're supposed to live, what the will of God is. Now, there's the generic will of God, and that's to share the gospel. That one is out there. Everyone should know that one. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is the, I call the generic will of God. But there's the individual will of God, too. Then there's just the stuff you do until other people realize their will of God and they come take it from you, right? You always got to turn to the word of the Bible is for us to know the will of God. It is written for learning. It's hard to put together things without instructions. Brand new sound equipment. We pore over those instructions. We still don't know that board, everything that it can do. instructions. Next one is Psalm 143, verse 8. It says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Prayer. Listen, this entire chapter, and actually was 143, is it just a good chapter of David praying for guidance. If you're lost in your will, you know, the prayer of God, show me where you want me. I just had that conversation with my daughter on the way into church. I don't, you know, 13 years old. Doesn't mean you still can't pray on where God wants you to be when you get older, you know, and who you'll date after I'm dead. All right. It's never too early or never too late. Listen, ministries change. We spoke 2 weeks ago. Noah's ministry didn't start till he was after 80 years old. Okay, we're constantly praying for that. Here's the hard one, Isaiah 6:8. In that situation where Isaiah is going through what he's going through, he says, here I am, send me. Submission. That's the dirty word right there. He said submission. People's feathers kind of got ruffled when you mentioned that word. All right, we're all should be submission under submission to Lord Jesus Christ. We all should be ready to when God says, hey, I need you to do this, you do it. No arguing. You know, I was really rough about that. You know, I always like to argue. I know you guys don't understand that now, but back in the day. You know, and it was, there's no arguing with God. I need you to do this, okay? I need you to do this, okay? Submission. And then lastly, Psalm 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Wise counsel. And that's the one the world, see, the world wants to give you all kinds of advice. But it's the wise counsel. And wise counsel is biblical counseling. Those individuals that you look up to, that you trust, are good men and women of God. See, you don't come to me for dieting advice. I'm not going to be able to help you. Come to me if you want, you know, a good donut or something like that. I can point you in that direction. Wise counsel. And those are the situations, if you don't know the will of God, the Bible, prayer, submission, wise counsel, those are the things that need to be on your wheelhouse because that's the only way to figure all that kind of stuff out. God's not just going to throw it out there. And you wake up one day like, oh, I know, I got it all figured out. If you don't know what you're doing, those are the ways that you do it. Knowing God's will is not easy. It takes a while. There's seasoned veterans that sometimes miss God's will. No one's perfect, okay? And that has a lot to do with what we said before, the warring of the flesh and the spiritual and all that other kind of stuff. So, you know, those, all that seems to clash. Basically just coming down to, you know, we're still going to have problems in knowing the will of God. And that's okay. It's not the end of the world. You know, people have that issue. So there's no reason to beat ourselves up about it. Last one, in Luke chapter 24, 23 through 27 is just the account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have the women have gone, seen the empty tomb. They've gone back. Verse 23, it says, when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of the angels, which said he was alive. That was the women reporting. It says, and certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre and found it even so that the women had said, but him they saw it not. These guys didn't believe it, didn't believe the women, so they had to go double check. I don't blame him. I've probably done the same thing, but my wife's not here. That's right. She's not here. No one tell her that. Parker. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Slow of heart to believe doubt. That's doubt. Even the apostles doubted. Peter doubted. Paul had some issues where he didn't want to do what God was telling him what to do. It doesn't mean that you quit believing in Jesus Christ. All right? We're human. We're going to have issues. Thomas doubted. All right? It's not the end of the world. Followers of Jesus doubted the resurrection. Verse 27 tells us that he had to go back. It says, in the beginning, at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in the scriptures these things concerning himself. He had to go back and reiterate all of, hey, I told you I was going to, resurrection was going to happen. He had to go back, and all these people that had been following him, he had to go back, get them from their fishing boats, and let them know that, hey, I'm here. All right, it's not the end of the world. Abraham doubted. Martha doubted. Gideon doubted. See, doubting is not what's going to send you to hell. It's not going to cause you to lose your salvation. It's not going to cause you to get kicked out of Hilltop Baptist Church. Okay? It's a doubt problem. We have sin problems. It's not the end of the world. There's no reason to kill ourselves. No reason to beat ourselves up. Doubting is not refusing. See, and that's the difference between the two. I may not understand, I may not get it, but I still do it. I don't expect my children, and my parents didn't expect me to agree with everything they asked me to do. But they did expect me to follow through and do what I was supposed to do. And if I couldn't learn to obey my parents, whether I agreed or not, I would never, ever, would have ever turned out to be a good servant to the king. Because I don't understand everything he asked me to do. I don't understand why he asked me to stand up here, why he called me to preach or teach. I mean, it makes sense he gave me the good look, so I understand it partially. But, you know, I don't understand why me. You know, why did he choose me? Why did he choose you for what you do? Why did he choose Dee to sing? Why does he choose Mallory to play the piano? Okay, I don't understand. I'm just a lonely sinner. I'm nobody. And yet he looked down. Think about this. The difference between our Lord and every other God in this world is our personal God looked down and saw me and picked out a plan for me individually. Picked out a plan for Mark individually. Hugh, individually. Every single one of us in this church, he's looked down and individually handpicked something for us to do so that we can work in the kingdom of God, hand in hand, together, as a family. See, and that's what we are. We might have sin problems, and we might not all know exactly what we're doing. We might wrestle with doubt, but we're all a family. We're all here to serve and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the Christian life is never going to be problem-free. It's not going to be trouble-free, and it's not going to be easy. It's just a life lived with Jesus Christ, one on the road to heavenly bliss, and that's okay with me. I'm all right with that. And as we all stand, and as the musicians come forward, I can't promise anything easy. I can't tell you that life from here is going to be smooth sailing. But I can tell you that if you've come to know Jesus Christ through the hard times, through the doubt, through any of the suffering, we have a Savior that loves us. And that's walking with us, and it's never more than just a knee and a prayer away. As we sing.
If you would, take your hymn book. book, turn to page 599. Jesus is Lord of all. As we sing together as a church.
All my tomorrows, all my